Hi, it's Lala here. For today's episode, I just wanted to provide all my sexy listeners out there with a quick trigger warning. Today's erotic tale is not for the faint of heart. It involves bondage, discipline, dominance and submission, sadomasochism, or what some of you may know as BDSM themes, such as breath play, knife play, and sensory deprivation. So, viewer discretion is advised. It gets really kinky.
It's time for Lala's Bedtime Tales. Grab your wine, dim the lights, and get ready to listen to an oh-so-sexy bedtime story. I'm Lala, and I'm going to tell you an erotic story guaranteed to turn you on and get you hot and bothered. So, listen up.
Hello, beauties. Welcome to Lala's Bedtime Tales, first episode of Spooky Season. It's that time of the year where everyone loves the fall sweater weather, their pumpkin spice lattes, and very scary stories. Well, this week's erotic tale will be suspenseful and sexy and give you an erotic Halloween fix. I bet if I ask any of my listeners out there, someone will tell me that they love a handsome and reckless bad boy. Well, in Bend by Lust, Layla Cerie is obsessed with handsome men that embody all things dangerous and reckless. She loves a bad and oh so dirty boy. So, let's jump right in to the seductive and taboo spooky tale of Layla Cerie. The fine hairs on the back of my neck stand up, and I can feel his presence in my vicinity before even laying eyes on him. I look up from my work and let my gaze follow him to the counter as he places his order. Ace Brooks was even sexier the second time I had the privilege of laying my eyes on him. A few weeks ago, I met him at the Contemporary Art Gallery where I work as a gallery assistant. He was there picking up a few purchased pieces of artwork for a friend, and I became enamored by his handsomeness. Presently, he was lazily leaning his tall, muscular frame against the counter while ordering, and the female cashier was hanging on his every word and admiring his sexy smile. I don't blame the cashier at all for admiring Ace's appearance. He had his long black and light brown dreadlocks and a sloppy ponytail atop his head, and he was wearing tight moto jeans that hugged that nice ass of his, and he had on a leather moto jacket. Just from a few stolen glances, you could tell Ace was the reckless and adventure-seeking bad boy. Your mom always warned you not to date. As my gaze traveled from his black leather boots back up to his face, my eyes collided with big jade green eyes. I felt my olive skin heat up with embarrassment as Ace caught me staring at him. Oh shit! I thought, as he gave me a sly smile and a wink, grabbing his order from the cashier and heading towards my table. I felt my mouth go bone dry as he approached my table, and I felt sexual want course through my body. He tossed his food sack down and turned the chair across from me backward, straddling it. He took in my work planner, office files, and laptop set up on the table before making eye contact with me. "Don't you have an office in the Modern and Twisted Art Gallery?" he questioned, as the sound of his deep, musical voice made me ache between my legs with sexual arousal. He placed his beautiful head on his muscular, milk chocolate forearm as he waited for me to answer. "Yes, but my boss is a real perv," I blurt out without thinking and clamp a hand around my mouth for my lack of tact. Even if my boss found every opportunity to graze my thigh or slide his hand a little too close to my backside, I shouldn't be sharing this information with a client's friend. Ace tilted his head to the side and gave me a searching stare as his eyes landed on my lip. For a swift second, I noticed a flash of desire reflected in those jade green eyes of his, but it was gone as soon as it happened. Ace then smiled and stated, "I hope you've taken self-defense because it sounds like old Mr. Miller needs a Black Widow level ass-kicking from you. That's just so gross, he's a pervert. And I would say I'm sure there's HR for that kind of thing, but he owns the damn place." Ace's jokes broke through the awkwardness that hung in the air, making him even more attractive. At that moment, I knew I was treading through dangerous waters with this sexy man, because he not only was the hottest man I'd ever seen in Oregon, but had a charming personality too. "So, what's Ace short for?" I asked, taking a sip of my lukewarm latte and admiring how flawless his milk chocolate skin complexion of his face is. He had to be younger than me. There was no way Ace was over 25 years old. He eyed me as he shoved a few fries into his mouth, as if he was contemplating how to answer the question or if he would answer the question at all. "Alexander, nowhere as sexy as Layla," he flirted, causing my nipples to pebble and my face to blush from his comment. Ace was drawing me in and making it hard not to become fonder of him the longer I was in his presence. He abruptly stood up and questioned, "Are you finished with your work for the day? If not, it's a Friday, so I think you should call it a day and come with me. What do you say, Layla?" I eyed his outreached hand and lifted my eyes to his mesmerizing smile as I contemplated taking him up on his offer. I looked down at my dainty Skagen rose gold watch and noticed it was almost 5. So Ace did have a point. Before I knew it, Ace had decided for me. He had picked up my briefcase and was sliding my files and planner into it. "It's time to go. Save what you're working on and finish it later. I want to take you somewhere amazing," he ordered, urgently squeezing my shoulder. I slammed my laptop shut and tossed it into my briefcase as Ace zipped it up and passed it to me. He took my hand and we walked at lightning speed out of the cafe into his black and midnight blue motorcycle. Ace passed me a helmet as he secured one on his head and hopped onto his bike. I stood there stunned and unsure of what to do because I had never ridden on a motorcycle, and I hadn't even questioned where he'd be taking me. Ace revved the engine of his bike, and he looked at me with an alluring gaze that made my clitoris pulse with excitement. God, he was such a bad boy. I slid on the helmet and nestled myself to his back, taking in his sexy sandalwood scent. "Hold on tight, babe," Ace shouted over his motorcycle, wrapping my arms tightly around his slim waist and muscular stomach. The proximity to Ace as he pulled away from the curb only intensified my growing need and desire for this bad boy. The sun had set due to the time it took us to get across Portland from White Eagles Cafe to the historic theater downtown. I felt exhilarated and turned on more than ever as I hopped off Ace's motorcycle and stared up at the historic theater that sent chills down my spine. There was a line of people walking towards the double doors of the entrance and a lit-up sign announcing the Vivacious Dolls Burlesque Troupe show for that night. "You brought me to a burlesque show?" I asked, confused, as I bite down on my lower lip, trying to make sense of his want to bring me here. "Plus, isn't this theater haunted?" I add, as I smooth down my leather high-waisted pencil skirt, trying to hold my composure. "Ha! No more haunted than the White Eagles Cafe. You must be new to Portland, because there's a reason why people say keep Portland weird. There are lots of haunted and spooky places around the city. Plus, I have a friend in this renowned burlesque troupe. You'll love it," Ace exclaimed as his hand encircled my wrist and dragged me towards the entrance of the theater. I realized how ice cold Ace's hands were, almost as if he had lost all blood circulation to them. Ace ushered me to a reserved round table close to the stage and ordered 2 whiskeys from the cocktail waitress as we waited for the show to begin. 2 whiskeys and 3 gin and tonics into the show, I realized Ace was right. I enjoyed the burlesque show and his company. I stole a glance over at his beautiful face, illuminated by the dim lights from the stage, and feel myself getting hot and horny. He turns and looks at me and blows me a kiss and squeezes my hand. My desire for him grows, and I think about pulling him into the nearest bathroom, sinking to my knee, and pleasuring him with my mouth. But before I can live out this fantasy, a sexy woman that has been hosting the show all night comes onto the stage and beckons Ace to get up there. He gives me a mischievous smile and heads to the stage, hopping upon it with exceptional agility. Now, for our infamous finale, please welcome Fijian Fatel to the stage. The female host announces in a husky tone, the curtain opens, and a red mood light spotlights a beautiful woman, gracefully sliding down a crimson silk cloth in nothing but a black leather bondage harness, black thong, and glittery black pasties with red tassels. I am enthralled in sexual yearning, pulls in my belly as I watch her sensual movement extend in the air as a seductive tune plays on a saxophone. My breath catches as I look to the right of the stage and see a shirtless Ace in nothing but black slacks and his dreads hanging loosely around his shoulders. He's the sexy saxophone player as this sexy little minx whirls in the air. The Fijian Fatel and Ace are by far the sexiest performance of the night. The way this beautiful woman captivates the audience with her flexible and effortless movements in the silk cloth makes you feel like she's making love to you. Ace in the Fijian Fatel's performance is alluring, and it makes me soak through my panties, and I feel myself begin to pant from sexual arousal. She contorts her body into flexible positions in tune with the sexy saxophone, making you wonder what she's like in the bedroom. She ends the seductive aerial dance by twirling herself to the ground in an upside-down straddle and then gracefully rights herself up to hit the ground in a second position split in tune with the last note of Ace's sensual saxophone melody. Ace sashays across the stage and lifts her off the floor, and they bow as the audience erupts in applause. I realize I'm clenching my thighs and holding my breath in need of a sexual climax after watching such an erotic performance. I feel the flush of my skin as I nurse my gin and tonic, hoping it will cool my burning flesh that's so hot and so aroused. After watching Ace and that sensual woman on stage, I'm so deep in thought about what I've just watched that it takes me a second to realize that Ace and the Fijian Fatale are standing in front of me. My heart drops in disappointment as I notice that Ace has covered his fantastic body with a shirt. The woman is wearing a sheer robe over her sexy getup that barely covers any of her curvaceous body. Unsure what to do with myself, I plaster a smile on my face and stand and greet her. "You guys were so amazing. It was such a compelling performance," I say endearingly. Ace smiles and pulls the woman into his side. I notice that she's of short stature, and at barely 5'3", I'm slightly taller than her. She looks of Polynesian and African descent, but I assume she's from Fiji by her burlesque stage name. She's an exotic beauty with flawless caramel skin and a long, wavy, brown and honey blonde ponytail that hangs midway down her back. Giving her another once over, she couldn't be older than 18. Since hanging around Ace, I felt like an old maid at 28 and self-conscious of not being as youthful. "Thank you. This is my dearest friend, Adelina." Ace introduces her as she holds out her hand to greet me. I give it a shake, feeling the same chill from contact with her as I felt with Ace's hand. It must be from the sexually charged air that my skin feels, overheated and sensitive to the temperature of others. "Are you going to invite her to the club tonight?" Adelina inquires to Ace in a soft, melodious voice as she gives me a once-over cold eye. Ace's body becomes rigid, and a look exchanges between them that I can't decode. "We'll see how this night goes," Ace retorts, and Adelina quirks an eyebrow at him. Ace whispers something in her ear and drops a kiss on her lip as his ice-cold hand grabs my upper arm. "I'll catch you later, love," Ace says submissively to Adelina as he drags me out of the historic theater into his bike. The cool air of the night helps calm down my heated flesh that's hot from arousal, and probably all the alcohol I consumed tonight. "Where to next?" I giggle drunkenly and slightly stumble as Ace places the helmet on my head and guides me onto his bike. "To your home," he says, securing my arm snugly around his midsection. "Ah, I see. You're tired of me already?" I pout as I burrow my face between Ace's shoulder blades. "Not in the slightest," he growls as he starts up his motorcycle and takes off as I give him directions to my apartment complex. I lazily stumble down the hall to my apartment with my face gently resting against Ace's forearm and our hands entwined. I grab my keys from my briefcase, unlock the door, swing it wide, and walk inside. I turn around and stand in the entryway, watching Ace lean lazily in the doorframe, not following me. "Do you live alone?" he asks, peering into my minimalistic and chic apartment. I lean my cheek against the front door and reply, "Yes, so come in if you want. We can have another drink." I turn away and walk in and notice that he still doesn't follow me, but lingers in the doorway. "I'm inviting you into my house. Do you not want to stay?" I question, confused. He gives me a sly smile and strides in confidently, as if he wasn't awed a few seconds ago, just loitering at my open door. I sling off my high-heeled booties in the middle of my living room and waltz over to my kitchen cabinets to fetch two wine glasses. As I reach up, I feel Ace's warm breath on my neck and his hand slowly unzipping my skirt. I freeze in place, feeling my pussy throb with anticipation as I let him slide my skirt down into a puddle on the floor as he sucks and nips on my neck and collarbone. I am highly turned on and have fantasized about his touch on me since the first day I set eyes on him in the art gallery. His hands brush against the hem of my black cropped sweater as I tilt my head back, providing him with an easy opportunity to plunge his tongue into my mouth as he peels my sweater off my body. Ace quickly turns me around to face him, and I become achingly aware of his smoldering gaze as he gives my body a once-over in my lacy black lingerie. Brazenly, I take off my bra and allow it to hit the kitchen floor and watch his nostrils flare as I bite my bottom lip and play with my engorged nipples. God, babe, I could smell your sexual heat all day. I've been drunk on it since the day I laid my eyes on your beauty in the art gallery. Ace breathes out as his mouth comes crashing down on mine, and he picks me up and places me on my island countertop in the center of my kitchen. The cold black marble is a pleasant surprise against the heat of my skin as Ace drops to his knees and licks the instep of my left leg and slides his tongue up my calf, sending shivers down my spine. He kisses his way to my inner thigh and slightly lifts my hips to slip off my thong in one leaf movement. Ace bends his head back down and circles his tongue around my twitching clitoris as he slides a finger into the slick folds of my heated core. I fling my head back in ecstasy because it feels like his tongue and fingers are everywhere. I pant heavily, closing my eyes. I can't help but think about how I've been waiting for this moment since witnessing that hot and sensual mouth of his wrapped around that sax tonight. His mouth and fingers switch places as his tongue penetrates my hot, sticky core, and he drives me out of my mind with the massaging of my clitoris. My world is taken over in pleasure as I feel my body climb to a release, and I hear myself scream his name as he sends me into an intense orgasm that leaves me quivering. He takes a step back and stares at me intensely, waiting for me to come back to reality from my orgasm. I hop off the counter and grab his arm, dragging him down the hallway to my bedroom. Ace picks me up and throws me onto my bed as he undresses. I lay back on my forearms and my eyes take in Ace in all of his naked glory. He has so many tattoos that make him ooze sexy bad boy vibes. His breathing is labored as he pumps his hand on his enormous erection. He comes towards me holding his dick in his hand and grounds out. I have a particular sexual taste, so if you're game, then sex with me will involve a traffic light system. Green means go for it, yellow means take it easy, and red means stop. Am I clear? I feel my heartbeat pick up out of fear and excitement as I give him a flirty giggle and whisper, green light. As quick as a flash, Ace is on top of me, kissing my mouth possessively and hard as his fingers play with my nipples, and he spread eagles my thighs with his knee. He slides three fingers into my soaking pussy as if he's stretching me out to ensure I can accommodate the size of his dick. You're dripping wet for me, Ace breathes out as he gently rolls me to my side and lifts my right leg onto his shoulder and rams his dick into me hard, making me lose my breath with shock. He slowly pulls himself out of me and orders, "Remember the traffic light signals. It's about to be rough," which will be all the more pleasurable. He slams back into me vigorously and pounds my core as a groan of pleasure escapes my lips. He has me positioned in a way that I can feel every long inch of him. Unexpectedly, he reaches down and grabs my throat and cuts off my breath for a few seconds, and just as suddenly lets go, heightening my arousal as he swivels his hips and sets a harsh pace to our fucking. Ace massages my throat and then chokes me again, making me ride this pleasurable wave higher as he repeatedly pumps into my pussy. I'm so close and hate it every time he deprives me of salacious bliss when he lets go of my throat. Ace strokes my throat gently one more time as he becomes rougher and faster as he strokes his big dick into my gushing wet pussy. He grabs my throat again and deprives me of air until a second orgasm hits me, and I'm seconds away from passing out from lack of oxygen and wanton sexual passion. His body comes down beside me as I catch my breath and murmur, "I didn't know it could be that great. It was scary, yet sexy, and it blew my mind. I never came so hard and fast in my life." He laughs into my hair and pulls me on top of him. As I lay my head on his chest, I'm surprised that I can't hear the fast beat of his heart after all the energy this man has expended while fucking me. "Rest up, babe. That was only round one," he says, gently stroking my sweaty hair away from my face. I feel my body awaken with excitement, and my pussy grows wet in eagerness for more to come. I angrily and furiously tap my fingers on the keyboard of my work laptop. Ace in the passionate sex we had all weekend invades my thoughts and makes me wet between my thighs. I let out a breath in sexual frustration. Ace and I fucked all weekend, and he left me early that Monday, both sore and super exhausted. And worse, I hadn't heard from him since. It was now Friday, and I had been to the White Eagle Cafe so many times this week, the cashier girl referred to me by my first name. Embarrassingly, I went in hopes of running into Ace since he hadn't left me with his cell phone number or taken mine, and he didn't exist on social media. "Miss Suri. Layla!" George Miller, my boss, yells, startling me out of my daydream and bringing me back to reality. He perches on the edge of my desk, too close for comfort. Mr. Miller's lustful gaze at my breasts burns a hole through my blouse, making my skin crawl. Today, Mr. Miller harasses me by wrapping his hand around a lock of my dark, wavy hair that I left loose around my shoulders. He causes my stomach to churn with disgust as he pesters me. I lean my hair out of his reach and pile it on top of my head, securing it with a silver barrette. I roll my chair back so my entire person is out of his reach, and I ask sternly, "What do you need, Mr. Miller?" He gives me a big toothy grin, and he unbuttons his expensive designer suit jacket from around his round belly, causing me to fidget uncomfortably in my chair. "It's past 5, and I was wondering if you had any plans tonight." He raises the question as he grabs the arms of my desk chair and rolls me between his thighs. I feel nauseous and fearful, and I look around for a weapon on my desk to protect myself, and think of how to reject my sleazy boss without him becoming angry and aggressive. "I hear there's a good Harvey Weinstein documentary that I'll probably watch tonight," I snap at George sarcastically as I try to roll my chair back. He lets out a hearty laugh and brings his face close to mine, and I get a whiff of cigarettes and stale coffee on his revolting breath. His head swoops down to try to kiss me, and I turn my head and try to turn my chair over to get away from him. Get away from me, you pervert! I'm not interested. Learn to take a fucking hint. I shout at the top of my lungs and knee him in the balls, which allows me a few minutes of reprieve to try to escape out of my office. I hear George's grunts of pain as he gets closer and grabs my wrist. He turns me around to face him and grasps my forearms hard, pinning me up against the wall. I'm scared out of my mind. The fear of his unknown actions caused me to panic, and I feel like I'm about to burst into tears. I close my eyes and try to figure out how to deal with this horrible situation. She said she's not interested. I hear an all too familiar voice snarl, which catches George off guard. Peeking over George's shoulder, I see Ace with a dark expression on his face and his fists clenching at his sides. And I see another man just as handsome as Ace with a death grip on the back of George's neck. Why, Mr. Dukas, did you have an appointment with me today? Mr. Miller asks shakily as the attractive man with pale blue eyes yanks him back, allowing me an opportunity to flee. I run straight into Ace's arms for protection. My legs feel like jelly, and I can barely stand. As my knees buckle, I feel tears start to fall from my eyes as Ace picks me up and holds me tightly to his chest. No? But I'm glad I decided to drop by the gallery today. Now, it all makes sense, George. How every so many months, a new gallerina is assisting at the Modern and Twisted Art Gallery. This beautiful man says nonchalantly, lifting Mr. Miller in the air by his throat. You're a perverted sleazebag that needs to never be in a position of power, ever again. Wouldn't you agree with me, brother? He questions Ace, looking in our direction. Ace releases me, sits me on the floor, and softly kisses my hair as he wraps me into his leather jacket. This action calms me as I breathe in his sandalwood scent. Ace strides towards the beautiful stranger as he pushes George hard into the wall. Ace and his gorgeous counterpart's face twist into something horrifying that resembles gargoyles, and they expose what appears to be sharp, animalistic fangs. I can't believe my eyes nor move because I'm frozen in my seat on the floor. I hear the blood-curdling screams of George Miller as the supernatural beings tear him apart limb by limb like a pair of lions feasting on a carcass. I don't know how many seconds or minutes pass as I watch this sickening scene. Ace's face turns back to normal, but he's covered in George's blood as he approaches me. I must be dreaming, is my last thought as I feel lightheaded and I'm overtaken by the darkness. Ouch! I think as I feel a sharp prick on my finger. Groggily, I feel myself slowly come back to life. As I open my eyes, they collide with the jade green of Aces. His eyes look distant and sad as he leans into my ear, nibbling the lobe, and whispers, "Trust me, babe, I won't let anything or anyone hurt you." Fuck, I think to myself as I try to move but feel restrained and frozen to a spot. My eyes slowly adjust to the room and I realize I'm shackled to an X-shaped cross and I tremble uncontrollably out of terror. The dimly lit room is decorated with expensive, plush, and oversized furniture, some of the sexual nature that I've only witnessed in hardcore adult films. My heartbeat speeds up as I regain my traumatic memories from earlier today. I close my eyes as I tug on my restraints, and they don't budge. And I gasp aloud, "Ace, you're a vampire." I hear a slow applause come from out of the shadows from the gorgeous man that had assisted Ace in the demise of Mr. Miller. He stands beside a plush couch where Adelina and Ace are currently seated. He was my first sire when I came to the Americas. For around 150 years, he's been a vampire. What our kind classifies as an ascendant vampire. Then our sweet Adelina here is a fledgling that oversees all of our baby vamps that join the American coven of the Dukas clan. Lastly, I'm Blaze, the leader of this dark and reverent American coven of the powerful Dukas vampires. I take my duties as a vampire king very seriously, Blaze whispers as he runs his tongue slowly and seductively over my jugular vein, causing my body to react pleasurably to this action. Blaze slips a Damascus steel blade knife from his back pocket, and I hear Ace suck in a deep breath. Blaze turns around to glance at Ace's discomfort and gets a kick out of it as he runs the cold steel blade down my right cheek to my heart and pauses. I feel a flash of energy, and Ace has a firm hold on Blaze's wrist, keeping the knife from digging into the skin of my chest. Wow. I see we found ourselves a little treasure in this one, Adelina. Out of the thousands of women that Ace has bedded and thrown to the side, this one must have a magical pussy. Blaze taunts at Ace through a narrow gaze. Amid my fear, I hear a fake yawn come from Adelina as her melodious voice exclaims, "I'm bored. Ace, you couldn't wipe her feeble human mind of your existence after fucking her. And Blaze couldn't compel her to forget what happened at the art gallery. So, let him make her our dinner. It doesn't have to be like this," Ace pleads as he claps Blaze's shoulders pleadingly. "Layla's special. There's something mage-like about her mind, but I promise you, she won't talk. She's not stupid." Blaze effortlessly tosses Ace across the room and back onto the couch as he slides the blade in one swift movement down the front of my body, ripping through my blouse, lingerie, and skirt without nicking me with the knife. Of course she's not gonna talk. She owes me. I took care of her problem and cleaned up your mess, Ace. So now she belongs to us. You know, we share everything. Blaze breathed out as he sucked on my neck, making my pussy become dripping wet with sexual needs. Everything was happening so fast, and I was in so much shock as Blaze turned to a pouting Adelina, who wasn't keen on sharing Blaze or Ace's attention with me. "Adelina, show Treasure here a piece of our world. Assume the position," Blaze barked as he turned around and stabbed the knife in the X-shaped cross near my ear. I drug in a fearful deep breath as Blaze drops a quick and chaste kiss to my lips. I watch from my place of restraint as Adelina shimmies out of her tight mini dress and gracefully glides naked and confidently across the floor to lay at Blaze's feet in a submissive pose that resembles that of a yoga child's pose. "Let me know what I can do to please you, Alpha. I am in this position as your humble servant," Adelina says, causing my nipples to pebble, and her seductive voice causes desire to stare in the pit of my stomach. "Ace and I are going to fuck you, and you're going to enjoy it," Blaze commands as he and Ace begin to undress. I should feel fear at this moment at not being able to move my arms or legs in a room of mystical, demonic creatures such as vampires. But I find myself wanting to touch myself as my clitoris throbs between my legs. I watch as Adelina's mouth inhales Blaze's dick to the back of her throat as Ace picks her tiny frame up and wraps her legs around his hip as he enters her from behind. All I can do from my spot in the room is watch them fuck each other into oblivion as I slowly start to realize my fate nervously, that I would become these three vampires' human sex slaves and submissives. Adelina feeds me, showers me, and dresses me in a black teddy made of mesh and lace before handcuffing me and leading me through their lair down to the sex dungeon. Blaze has an infinite wealth and owns one of Portland's most popular sex clubs that works as a front for their vampire lair. I suppress a giggle of disbelief, not wanting to piss off Adelina as I try to get it through my thick skull that the supernatural does truly exist in our human world. I didn't get much rest last night and still ached between my thighs in need of a sexual release as I watched the erotic escapades of the three vampire lovers. Ace was right in warning me about the atypical way that not only he, but Adelina and Blaze found their sexual releases. Blaze didn't release me from what he called the St. Andrew's Cross into the wee morning hours so Adelina could ready me for the events that would unfold later in the day. Ace opens the door to the sex dungeon, terrifying and frustrating me by refusing to meet my gaze. Adelina pulls on the handcuffs, causing them to bite into my skin, and I let out a yelp of pain as she leads me to a medieval dungeon contraption. She pushes me on my knees, suspends my hands in the air, and traps them into suspended wooden hand stalks. She yanks back my hair and gives me a hard kiss as she nips my bottom lip, causing it to bleed, and licks it up as I hear a low, throaty whistle from the middle of the brightly lit room. What I love about humans is how their sexual arousal brings their blood flow to the surface of the skin, making each bite and feeding of their flesh more fulfilling. Treasure, your sexual arousal scent is so sweet and so hypnotic. I can't wait to sink my teeth into you just for a taste as I fuck you into the greatest climax of your life, Blaze states seductively. As turned on as his promise makes me, I know he makes these statements to get under Ace's skin for his transgression of seducing me and trying to form an emotional connection with a human. At that moment, my eyes move away from a half-dressed Blaze, who is bare-chested and almost as muscle-toned as Ace, upwards to the cages of women suspended in the air. I feel my shoulders tense with unease as I spot a woman hog-tied above Blaze with clamps on her nipples and a ball gag in her mouth. Her pale skin is flush with arousal, but I'm terrified that Blaze will try to exert this form of dominance over me. I watch as Blaze, Adelina, and Ace bare their fangs. This time, it is more subtle than the first time I witnessed it in the art gallery. Blaze then slices the Mocha's steel blade knife from the back pocket of his jeans and circles it gently around the hog-tied woman's areola, causing her to quiver with sexual delight. Ace rips the nipple clamps from her breasts as Blaze makes a tiny nick between her breasts, and blood trickles down her stomach as Adelina licks it off so erotically. Ace pleasures the woman's body with his mouth and hands as Blaze makes minor nicks on her body with his surgical steel knife blade, and Adelina continues to lick up each trail of blood. Once the woman's skin is dribbling blood from her neck, chest, hip, and between her thighs, Blaze cuts the nylon rope that held her suspended in the air. She quickly falls as Ace catches her, sinking his teeth into the nick on her neck, and Blaze kisses her hard and passionately. Adelina feeds on her from the nicks between her thighs as she strokes her clitoris. Watching these vampires feed on a human is the most erotic and sensual thing I've ever seen. My nipples grow tight and stiff, and I feel my core become dewy and heated from this voracious scene. The craziest part to me is that the woman is climaxing over and over again from this experience. Once the vampires have finished feeding on the four other female humans in the room, Blaze gives them a stilly gaze and hypnotically tells them about how fantastic their time here at his sex club was, then sends them over to Ace to wipe their minds of the vampirism acts that have just occurred. The women leave the room ecstatic and sexually satiated, as if this is an everyday occurrence in their daily lives. My shoulders ache and my knees are numb from holding this kneeling position in the suspended wooden handstock for so long. Ace kneels before me and releases my hands as he massages my shoulders back to life. Ever since I felt the sharp pinprick in my finger and Ace's hand on mine, I felt at ease and safe when we are within proximity to one another. Ace cups my face with his ice-cold hands and whispers, "In these next few moments, remember our traffic light system." I close my eyes, rest my forehead against his, and do not ask any questions, knowing I don't want to know what Blaze has in store for me. "Now for the grand finale tonight," Blaze jokes, snatching me out of the safe and secure cocoon that Ace's physical contact creates for me. Blaze is a vampire king, and he feeds off fear, and I'm a strong woman, so I wasn't going to play this cat and mouse game with him if I wanted to survive my servitude to him. In that instant, I decided I would find pleasure in what I wanted to be submissive in and dominate Blaze where I felt needed. "You're a feisty one. Although I'm a telepathic, there's something magical about you that's blocking me from hearing your inner monologue. But I can feel your emotions through Ace," Blaze says quizzically. "You have to be fucking kidding me, Ace. You blood-bonded yourself to a human you've only known for a hot second?" Adelina screams, shaking her head in disgust. "Blood bond?" I ask, puzzled as Adelina abruptly strips me naked and Blaze straps me into a sex swing. No one responds to me as Blaze makes sure that I'm securely restrained and can't break free from my position that allows my legs to be spread wide and open in a straddle and exposes my breasts to them. "Man, you have some nice big tits, treasure," Blaze gushes with admiration as he sends waves of desire coursing through my body, as he gently nips the right erect bud and tugs on the left one. I can't help but moan in pleasure as Ace steps forward with a leather whip with multiple strips of leather attached to the end. "Wow, she's freaking out. Ace, you've provided me with a gift with your blood bonding to treasure. Before, I couldn't read her mind, but now I can feel her every emotion. She's super scared, yet sexually needy for you, brother." Blaze laughs like the asshole he is as he nudges Ace towards me. "I'm going to bring your blood to the surface of your skin with this flogger, and then we're going to fuck and feed on you. It'll be the most sensual experience you've ever had," Ace says as he raises the flogger and slaps it against my breast, causing me to feel a sting of sensational sexual pleasure, which causes a loud moan to escape my body. He does it again, hitting me on my clit, making my body shiver with enjoyment and making me pant with desire. Ace smacks me all over my body with the flogger as I beg him for sexual relief, and I see his jade green eyes darken with desire. He drops the flogger and begins kissing me hard as Blaze sinks his teeth into the top of my left breast, and Adelina begins massaging my clitoris as she bites me on my right thigh. My body rides the biggest wave of sexual pleasure it's ever experienced as I feel myself pass out as I'm thrown into an earth-shattering climax. I wake up with my left wrist chained to the headboard of a colossal iron bed frame. The silk sheets feel sensational against my sensitive and ravaged skin, and my eyes land on a pale blue gaze across the room. "You have a good rest?" Blaze questions me as he lays his back in the oversized leather chair. I nod my head and take in the beauty of the largest master bedroom I've ever seen. I feel my pulse leap out of control in my neck, but I'm unsure if it's from my sexual attraction to Blaze or my resentment and fear of him. Ace's reckless and selfish obsession with you has put us in quite the predicament. See, I fucking love Ace and would die for him, but he can be a royal pain in my ass, and now you've become an extension of that pain. Now that you're blood bonded to him, I can't drain you of your blood until you die or snap your pretty little Persian neck, because I don't want to cause Ace a pain so undeniable it drives him to his own demise. Blaze scolds, causing me to pull my knees up to my chin as a form of self-protection. As quick as a flash of light, Blaze is straddling my thighs in bed, sitting on top of me. "So, what are you going to do to me?" I ask quietly, bracing myself for the worst possible outcome and terror that any human could ever experience. "I know you're attracted to me, so I'm going to make you my vampire queen as punishment to Ace. He will have to live as part of my clan with his true love, as my lover for all of eternity. You will be the one thing that I will possess and not share with Ace ever again," Blaze whispers, slipping his tongue into my mouth and kissing me until I can't breathe. "What if I refuse?" I ask boldly. "You don't want to be my lover? Even if I'm someone of great means that can satisfy all your wishes?" Blaze asks, staring at me intensely, stroking his thumb across my swollen lips. My mind becomes a battlefield at that moment because I'm sexually attracted to all three of them. After my experiences in the dungeon with them, I don't know if I could choose just one of them. However, I know my heart yearns the most for Ace. But I didn't want to spend my eternity as a submissive to Blaze to keep my connection with Ace alive. "In 2 years, on your 30th birthday, I will turn you into a vampire. Until then, you will be my pet, treasure," Blaze stated, flashing his fangs at me and sinking his teeth into my neck. "Great. That gives me 2 years to destroy you and free Ace from your control," I think to myself. I succumb to the pleasure of his hand stroking my breast as he drinks blood from my neck and begins to seduce me for his enjoyment. So, beauties, is Layla in over her head due to her obsession with a reckless bad boy? Or is she the one in control here in the situation with Blaze? It sounds to me there's something about Layla that drove Blaze to want to possess her that has nothing to do with Ace. Maybe. You'll just have to wait and see how everything unfolds.
Oh, so hot and sexy. Bedtime stories from Lala's Bedtime Tales. Thanks for tuning in to this week's erotic tale. For more erotic stories, sex tips, love advice, and sexual education, check out lalasbedtimetale.com and add me on Instagram for more erotic and sensual content at lalasbedtimetales. Please comment and share your fave sexy bedtime stories with erotic enthusiasts like you and me. Ta-ta until next time, sexies.